Well, no, I guess he looks like Marco from The Lost Boys. So.
Well, he did.
A million years ago.
John Deacon?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Oh, from yeah, here. I can see that. I can see that.
I can't in it. Freddie, Brian.
Got it.
Roger and John, I think. I'm looking at it upside down. And
yeah, because I could only see him the way your shirt was like going in on the other side. I didn't even see Freddie.
I can see it from up here, though. Yeah. It does. I see the resemblance to Alex Winter. I see it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It is Alex Winter, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Show is.
He's great. He's got an interview out on WTF that was really good.
Yeah, he just did a documentary.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was a documentarian.
Yeah, that's his thing now.
It's like fucking good for him.
These days.
I'm glad he's still doing stuff.
Oh yeah, a lot. You know? More.
Because as far as acting is
behind
concerned.
Behind the scenes kind of stuff, yeah. I think. But, yeah.
That kind of stuff and things.
That kind of stuff and things.
Mm. Stuff and things. Things and stuff.
Wow. That was
the world's most tired harmony.
Oh, are we recording?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great. Lovely. I love that for all of you, that you got to hear that.
Yeah. Oof.
Here's the thing. I never know, because, I mean, these conversations are the way these our conversations are, recording or not. So it's just like, you just never fucking know. Yeah. And there have been a few that it's like, fuck, we did not get that on.
I know.
We did not.
Because, like, I never know if it's going to veer into, you know, somebody double-checking notes or... Yeah. Anything like that, so I'm kind of hesitant to start it right off the bat.
Right.
Which is fair, just in case.
Yeah, because editing that shit can be a pain in the ass if I'm not really paying attention to the times.
Yeah.
This time, you guys got to hear it.
Yeah. Well, sweet. Well, welcome to Ghosts and Hoes.
Ghosts and Hoes.
Ghosts and Hoes, a paranormal podcast where we talk about all things spooky, cryptids, aliens. Motherfucking witchcraft, murder most motherfucking foul, and that one time haunted bunk beds. Yeah. I'm Dee. If you're new here, I'm Dee.
I'm Z.
That's it, and there's Randall.
Hi.
Oh,
creeping her out. One word at a time.
Hates it.
I don't know that it's necessarily that it creeps me out. I just really don't love it.
Yeah.
And I can't explain why. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just channeling my inner in living color Jim Carrey.
Vera DeMilo.
Vera DeMilo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 'tis the season for shopping. So, you know what? If you would like to buy your friends and family some Ghosts and Hoes merch.
Yeah, go do that.
Where would they do that?
At theredbubble.com.
Do they just search ghosts? -N -HEUXS
Well, that's backwards, but yes.
HEAUX.
HEAUX.
You're so close. Yeah, right there. Go find it. Buy it and then send us pictures if you've already purchased something. I wanna see.
Yeah.
I wanna see it.
I have a feeling if you search hoes spelled that way, it'll probably come up.
Probably.
Bat Squatch.
Yep. Yeah, that'll get you.
You can pick whatever design of ours you want and put it on whatever the fuckity fuck you want.
Exactly that. Well, not whatever. There are some things that I said. Why?
True.
Because what? Coasters? I mean, I think that actually is an option. If you need them, go for it.
Yeah, right?
I think the tote bag.
If you just search hose spelled HEAUXS, the five things that we are offering are there.
Well, five designs, because each one of those designs you can get on lots of things.
Yeah.
Shirts, hats,
I think.
Coasters.
Yep.
Mugs.
Uh-huh.
Glasses.
I don't remember.
Tank tops.
Yeah.
Hoodies.
I think so.
Water bottles?
Maybe.
Sticker. Mouse pads?
Stickers for water
Probably.
Bottles.
Probably.
Stickers for water bottles.
Yeah.
See?
Prints? Random prints?
Go do it.
Yeah, I think there was a couple of them might have shower curtains.
Yeah. Oh my God. That Bat Squatch and the Trick Babies as a shower curtain would be so fucking glorious.
That would be pretty fucking cool.
That's amazing. So, yeah, go do that thing.
Yeah, and then, you know.
And send us pictures.
Send us pictures of you in it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see.
Yeah, so, do we have any backhoes?
Yeah, a couple.
Sure, what we got?
I'm not seeing that we have the Bat Squatch and the Trick Babies.
Mm-hmm. As a shower
As curtain? A shirt.
Oh, it's there somewhere.
Oh, it's there, yeah. Because I've looked. I've seen it.
And somebody, I got an email that somebody's purchased it.
Yeah.
So where? I don't know. But I know it is a thing.
It is. I've seen it.
I seen it.
Because that's the one that my boyfriend wants.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's rad as hell.
It is rad as hell. So what we got? What we got?
First, shout out to newish patron, Haley.
What up, Haley?
Hi.
Hi. Thanks. Thanks, man.
Sorry it took 116 years to get you your things, but it finally should be to you now, I think, by the time you hear this.
I'm going to...
We took that week off.
We did, and I'm going to say that is the least amount of paper I have ever seen in your hand.
I know. It is the least amount of paper that has ever been in my hand in these however many years.
And I'm guessing it's probably because of what we did yesterday.
Yep. Yeah. Sure is. And also because I had none other time for anything else. This whole thing was done at work.
Today?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Well,
yeah. No. Well, that's my world. Yeah. It ain't easy, let me tell you.
For those of you who are listening.
It ain't easy being cheesy.
Yeah. For those of you listening who do not subscribe to the Patreon, so I had to step out because I had plans that day that I forgot about. So I wasn't here the whole time. Okay. I hit record, was here for about 2 minutes, then I left. Mm-hmm. I came back. An hour and 15 minutes had been recorded. And when I stepped back in the room, Z was just starting her half of it. Mm-hmm. And we went for 2 hours and 23 minutes total.
Yeah. And could have kept going if I didn't have somewhere I had to be. Just that case, there's just so much discussion. If you are a Patreon member, we covered the Delphi murders, which you've heard us mention here and there over the last couple years. Anyway, and if you're not a Patreon member, you might want to go because it's a really, really...
What the fuck are you doing with your life?
That too. But that case can warrant hours of discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Is that even two pieces of paper?
No, it's one.
No, it's one.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah. All right. Today's going to be quick.
And I do have to backhoe myself for the Patreon. Dan Semitovich, not Semovich. I think I said Semovich. It's Semitovich. From the Down the Hill podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I know. And you wouldn't have known.
Also that.
Yeah.
Also that.
There were so many words. And it was a rough one. I teared up a bit.
Yeah, that's why I said, who do you think you are, me?
Yeah.
No, you were already gone.
No, that's one of those cases that just since I found out about it, 3 years ago, maybe? It's just one of those that, yeah.
Yeah.
It really rocks your shit. Mm-hmm.
It's a rough one.
And I think a lot of that is because there is so... The authorities, the FBI, everyone has been so tight-lipped. All you know is that these two girls went missing and were murdered. The end.
Yeah.
So, you know, the imagination of those that are into true crime, I mean, just you can go so many directions.
Yeah. And
just the minuscule amounts of facts that have been released over the years.
And even though more have come out recently...
More questions.
Still so many more questions.
Yeah.
Maybe more than when we started.
Yeah. So.
So there's that.
Yeah. So what else we got?
This one probably won't mean a whole lot to younger people than I. And also you.
Yeah.
I'm guessing I think I'll probably know. You're only a couple years older than me.
I don't. Well, also I am 197 inside.
A lot of the times I am too.
Know a lot more about things that happened before I was born as far as pop culture than is probably normal.
Same. Anyway, say the thing.
Yeah. Jesus. but RIP to Marty Croft.
Oh.
I know that name.
Oh, shit.
H.R. Puffin stuff, Land of the Lost.
Oh,
Sigmund the Sea Monster.
He and his brother Sid. Mm-hmm. I can only assume we're on all the acid when they came up with
the Bugaloos. That's
HR
the one
Puffin
with
stuff.
Phyllis Diller, right? Bugaloos.
I think so, yeah.
The Bugaloos.
The Sleestaks will now and forever scare the bejesus out of me. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Marty.
Saturday
Sid,
mornings.
For that. Just what kind of nightmares were they trying to give kids? They're like, hey, here's this real weird giant monster. There's a magic flute for some reason. Right. And then this witch.
Sure. Yeah.
But don't be scared because her name is Witchy Poo. You're like, what? I have every question.
Yeah, it was like for hours on a Saturday morning, just back to back all of their shows.
Yeah. There's so many.
Yeah.
So many. But yeah. Yeah, like, well, no,
shit. He was probably old.
Yeah, but I think he was in his 80s.
Had to be in his 80s.
So. I didn't write it down.
Those shows were on in the 70s.
Yeah. But yeah, so.
So, well, rip, man.
Rest in peace.
Rest in
Marty.
Peace.
Rippy dippy. Yep.
And then. Everybody sent me the same link 900 times. And I love you. But I had already done Saint It the day before everybody sent it to me.
And did I send it to you too?
No. No, okay. You did not. It was like a giant wave all of a sudden. I'm like, oh, for hell's sake.
What was it?
Oscar Pistorius
is
getting paroled.
Oh.
He has been granted parole after 10 years.
Ew.
He will be released on January 5th.
Huh.
He does have parole conditions that will last, I believe, for 5 years that include community service and anger management courses.
And you're not allowed to date.
Please. Reva Steenkamp's mother does not believe Pistorius' claims that he thought Reva was an intruder, but she also did not oppose his parole.
Huh.
So, and if you do not know who I'm talking about, I covered it on some episode a while ago. He was the
what number
Olympian he was a double amputee,
the Olympian, Blade Runner,
yeah, that shot and killed his girlfriend.
I feel like I remember it.
Yeah, he and he ran on those blades. Mm-hmm. And that was like a big thing. He was in the Olympics, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we just said?
It literally just came out
literally
of my face.
Literally just came out of, yeah.
But yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so. He did. So he is getting paroled in January.
Huh.
So,
well, there's that. I mean, if she didn't deny it, so I'm just going to, all right, well, I mean, sure.
Yeah, well, like I said, his victim's mother
doesn't
buy his story, but she didn't step in.
Yeah. Well, and okay. So
she was like, well, I guess whatever.
Whatever. Who goes first then?
You do.
Well.
You do.
Well, let me put on my eye barts because I got them.
Good.
Yeah. Let's lick these tits.
Let's lick these titties. Let's do that.
It's from Rick and Morty.
I don't know. Okay. I don't watch Rick and Morty. I was just yes anding. Let's do it.
Appreciate that about you.
Is it a titty party? Yep. All right. I'm in.
Episode name, by the way. Let's lick these tits.
Absolutely.
Lick these tits. Lick these titters.
Absolutely not.
Oh, what is wrong with me?
Almost everything.
Touche. So today I have a solved/unsolved case that I came across on the Clock app, which I do have to say has been an amazing source of information on all of the things, the perfumes, the recipes. And the creepy stories, they got them. The funny babies, just Clock App's the best.
Thirst Trap SpongeBob.
Yeah,
that guy. I love him.
Yeah.
Silver rocks.
Straight the
Follow
fuck
him.
Up.
I still feel very uncomfortable with how hot I found his Dr. Frankenfurter/ Sesame Street's The Count.
Right?
Mashup. And his sexy old Greg? Words that shouldn't be together.
Sexy old Greg.
And yet here we are.
And yet we are here.
Here we are.
And we saw it there.
Seen it? There?
Yes. Clock app. Silver rocks. Right? Silver rocks?
How dare
you? Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's spissy.
He is spissy.
Spissy.
Go follow him.
And you'll see what we're talking about.
If you don't follow him...
You don't get it.
You should.
You should.
It's very sexually confusing.
It is. His Winifred. Sanders.
Yes. Right? What? Oh, God. Winifreddie Mercury.
Winifreddie Mercury. Yeah. I'm like,
sir, your brain, I love it. Mm-hmm. I just want to be friends with you. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah. I know. Anyway,
yeah, so. Go do that.
Yeah. So, clock app. Go do the thing. Yeah. So, today I'm going to tell you all about the Harris County does.
Okay.
Y'all know I love a good doe case.
Yes.
I do. Yes. I do. I do.
Do. Ooh. Thanks for picking up what I was putting down. Yeah.
Here we go. On January 12th, 1981, in northern Harris County, Texas, a man was out walking his dog in a boggy wooded area just north of the Houston city limits. His doggo, off leash, was wandering in and out of the woods doing pup things. Then on a trip back out of the woods towards its owner.
Oh, no.
He was bringing something back.
And I hate that.
And it was unmistakably a decomposing human arm.
No.
So the cops were called and, the area was searched, which turned up the heavily decomposed bodies of two unidentified people, a male and a female. The bodies were found. What are we looking
There's
at?
There's a spider.
It's a spider.
Where is it?
It's on the yellow pad.
I mean, as long as you guys need me to kill it.
No, as long as it keeps crawling away from me, we're fine.
Yeah, but if it's crawling away from you, it's crawling towards me.
That's Would you not guys my like problem. Me to kill it?
I'm not going to say no.
I'm the spider killer here. Pause. Hold on. I'm coming right back.
Poopy doop. Poopy doop. Dooby 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 poopy doop. This is the spider killing song. Booby doop. It's also a pad, so you're not going to get a lot of
I don't think spider...
crushing.
Oh, I hope you got it. Okay, you did.
Oh, yeah.
I saw the hoodie string fly at you when you smashed it. And I was like, oh, no, your face!
You can throw it in the box right there next to your, seat.
Oh, God.
It's very dead.
Oh, I know. No, when I thought it jumped at her face.
Oh.
I was like, no.
I can't tell you how many of those I've had skitter across my desk while I am working.
God, I really hate the word skitter.
I hate the word skitter. Yeah. But I'm back from my spider-killing duties.
Yeah.
Huzzah.
Yes, huzzah.
I hope you enjoyed the Spider-Man theme that went with that.
Huzzah.
I don't know if Peter Parker would approve of Peter what Parker's just happened dead. In here. But
oh, yeah. He's also dead.
It's all right.
Okay, so area searched. Turned up the heavily decomposed bodies of two identified people, a male and a female. The bodies were found within feet of each other, with the police determining that they'd been killed together, probably about the same time.
Okay.
The pair had been dead for anywhere between a week to 2 months. They were heavily decayed, with the male body already having been partially skeletonized. However, despite the decomposition, their faces were still recognizable enough for a reconstruction to be drawn of each.
Okay.
So, the police determined that both bodies had been the victims of homicide. The female had been strangled, and the male had been bound and gagged before being beaten to death. And they believe that the female had been killed first, and the male was beaten attempting to help her, which led some of the Harris County forensic anthropologists to think of them as Romeo and Juliet. It was unclear if they had been killed where they were found or if they had been taken there afterwards. So with no identification, the investigation turned up very few leads beyond what was gathered from the scene. Harris County forensic artist Mary Mize drew the initial facial reconstructions of both victims, and the initial age estimates had them as being in their late teens to young adult, very early 20s. Okay. Unfortunately, the reconstructions failed to generate any leads at all. So with nothing, no leads or arrests, the unidentified Harris County does were buried in a pauper's grave at the Harris County Cemetery, and that was that. In the early 90s, and as we've said probably around 100 times, forensic technology was advancing. The FBI and crime labs began to match DNA from unidentified crime victims or from blood or semen left behind by unknown killers, to information in a U.S. government database called Combined DNA Index Systems, or CODIS.
Yep.
You've heard us say that word lots. But at the time, CODIS was limited to DNA only from convicted criminals and crime scenes, as well as a separate, much smaller archive of profiles from samples that had been submitted by relatives, of missing persons. So unfortunately, at the time, just a few of the backlogs of does matched into CODIS entries. So then in 2011, Harris County got a grant to exhume the remains of several unidentified murder victims from the National Institute of Justice. By then, information about unidentified persons was also being routinely compared against missing persons reports in both FBI databases and in a public database known as NAMIS. So 30 years after their murder, the Harris County does were chosen to be exhumed to extract DNA. Originally, they did it to find out if they were related, if maybe they were brother and sister.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And also to enter them into the databases, which was fantastic. But they were unfortunately part of a much larger problem that experts call the nation's silent mass disaster. At the time, Harris County had a backlog. At the time, Harris County backlog had more than 300 identified bodies, and there were at the time more than 40,000 unidentified bodies all across the U.S., many the victims of serial killers. The Texas Attorney General's office estimated that there were 269,200 unsolved homicides in the U.S., and 19,200 of those were in Texas alone.
Oof.
So, a huge fucking caseload was one reason that in 2021, the Attorney General's office started a cold case task force in Texas. Okay. Stick a pin in that.
Got it.
So, but they were chosen to be, with others, exhumed and have their DNA tested. So, by this time, forensic genetic genealogy had become a thing, and as we all know, was becoming more popular in helping to solve crimes and give does their names. From 2017 to 2021, it had helped solve dozens of the coldest missing persons and murder cases. And in late 2020, the Harris County Does case had been given to California-based genetic genealogy organization Identifiers International. Their case was given to forensic genealogists Misty Gillis and Allison Peacock, who used GEDmatch to try to identify the couple. Gillis focused on tracing the man's genetics, and Peacock focused on tracing the females. Pretty quickly, Gillis began to zero in on a Kentucky family with the surname of Klaus, who had relocated from Kentucky to Florida.
Okay.
Through that tree, she found an extremely close match to the male doe, and after only 10 days of searching, she had found the sister of the male Harris County doe.
Oh.
So together, Misty and Allison made the very nerve-wracking and awkward phone call to a woman named Debbie Brooks. Debbie answers the phone. Misty introduced herself and told Debbie who they were, and then asked, "Do you have a missing relative?" And I can see why that's an awkward phone call. "Hi, I'm a genetic genealogist with Identifiers International, and I'm just calling to see if you have a loved one that ever went missing."
Right. I feel like if you didn't know that that was a thing that happened, immediately scam. You're like,
right?
I'm not trying to get scrumped today.
No scrumping.
No.
No scrumping.
Because as we all remember, to get scrumped is the past tense of getting scammed.
That of which, total side note, I got a call from my dad recently, like, last weekend, and my great aunt and uncle got a phone call from him in his voice saying that he had rear-ended a pregnant woman and he was going to prison. This whole elaborate story, and he needed bail money.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a new scam. They're using
AI voice.
AI voice.
They said it was his voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, why they didn't call anybody else before taking $16,000 out of the bank.
Good Lord.
And sending it God knows good fucking where. Oh my God. I had to call my mom. I was like, dude, if you ever get a weird phone call, just call Bella.
If anybody ever gets a phone call from me,
you know right away.
You know immediately that you're going to get scrumped. You're about to get scrumped.
Very, very wrong. So anyway.
Dirty Rock.
Yeah.
What?
Scammed is the past tense of, never mind.
It's a joke from a 30 Rock.
I don't remember it, so I'm angry about it.
Well, you can't be, because it was written over a decade ago.
Yes, I can.
No. I am the foremost authority, and I say, you're wrong, and you can't. So there.
Foremost authority on 30 Rock.
I truly am.
Okay, so.
In this room.
Yes.
Especially.
I've never seen it, so yeah.
I know.
Okay, so, Debbie, do you have a missing relative? To which she said, yes, my brother Dean. So they then told Debbie that they believed that they had found her brother, but unfortunately, he had been murdered. Hmm. Gillis told her that his body had been found in 1981, sticking only to facts that, you know, were public. Debbie then told them that her brother, who was 21 at the time, had a wife who was also missing and that her name was Tina. She was 17. And just like that, almost 40 years later, the Harris County does had been identified. But Misty and Allison were not prepared at all for Debbie's next question, which was, where's the baby?
Oh.
To which Allison said, what baby? Debbie was referring to Dean and Tina's daughter, Holly Marie, who was just a year old when they all disappeared. There was no body of a baby that had been found with or near the couple's remains, and there were no baby doe cases that fit Holly Marie's circumstances, so the ladies now had a whole other very fucking shocking and unexpected piece of this puzzle. So now let's go back in time to when the Klauses disappeared.
Let us.
Harold Dean Klaus Jr. and Tina Gail Lynn were both living with their families in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, when they met in 1978. Tina was 15, Dean was 19, and they met because Dean's sister was dating Tina's brother.
Okay.
That couple would also later marry. So both Dean and Tina's fathers died when they were young. They had that in common. And they had what those around them described as a whirlwind romance. The young lovebirds got married on June 25th, 1979 at Volusia County Courthouse, and their daughter Holly Marie was born on January 24th, 1980. Do that math. I did. Dean and Tina had moved in with her sister Sherry after they got married and had the baby. The young couple was described as loving, or were described as loving and devoted parents. And by then, two of Dean's sisters, who were married and also pregnant, all three women dreamed of raising the cousins together. But then, Dean, who had a knack for cabinet making, got a job with home builder D.R. Horton and followed the early 80s construction boom to the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area. So that summer, they borrowed his mother's maroon GMC Concorde sedan, packed all of their belongings and baby Holly inside, and began the 950-mile journey west with the intention of building their family together in Texas.
Okay.
In mid-1980, now 21-year-old Dean and 17-year-old Tina moved to Lewisville, Texas, a tiny town of 24,000 outside of Dallas-Fort Worth, and they stayed with Dean's cousin when they got there until they were able to get their own place, which they did pretty quickly. Work was sporadic at times, and got tough in between when Dean wasn't working, but they were happy and things were going well. In late October of that year, the letters that Tina sent home with photos of baby Holly, who was now pulling herself up to stand, her little baby face was filling out, and she was getting strawberry brown hair, the same shade as her mama's, they stopped. All letters, phone calls stopped.
I don't love that.
Then the Harris County does were found outside of Houston, 4 miles south of Lewisville, where Dean and Tina lived, minus Holly.
It's uncomfy.
So, a few months after the last letter that was received from Dean and Tina, Dean's family got a call from a woman who said that she was in Los Angeles. One source said male, all the others said female, so I'm going with it.
Yep.
Anyway, that she was in L.A., and had information about Tina and Dean, as well as the vehicle, a 1978 two-door red burgundy red AMC Concorde. She said that she was arranging to have it driven back from L.A. to Florida, and when it got there, they would arrange to meet them at the Daytona Speedway at midnight when it got there. So that all happened, got the call, meet us at midnight. Dean's family called the police to let them know what was going on and then went to meet up with a group of three women, possibly a male in the car. One of them introduced herself as Sister Susan. Susan looked to be in her 30s, and her two much younger-looking companions all had very long hair and wore loose white robes.
I don't love the implication of this.
No. Sister Susan told Dean's family that Tina and Dean had joined their religious group and no longer wanted to have any contact with their families. She also said that they were giving up all of their worldly possessions and then asked Dean's parents to pay her $1,000 to get the car back and for the information.
Well, that's not even a scam. That's just straight up extortion.
Mm-hmm. So the police did come. Those women were arrested, but there was nothing.
No.
Or they were questioned, I should say, but there was nothing there.
Ugh.
So, now this may have sound totally nuts to most people, but not to Dean's family. Because just a few years back, and before he had met Tina, 17-year-old Dean was really into the Jesus movement, which was a movement that started in the late 60s and early 70s. Basically, hippies for Jesus, but in a real culty, Manson-y kind of way. Huge movement.
That was the implication I was referring.
Huge movement. It was a thing. So, hippie pastors would attract followers, which included a lot of young drug addicts, who would declare themselves instantly cured from their addiction after public baptisms. The common chants were, "What will get you higher than acid? What will keep you up longer than speed? Jesus!
Ow!
Jesus!
I don't think that's...
Yeah.
I don't want to stay up longer than I already do. I don't need that. No,
blame
thanks.
Jesus.
Jesus! Come on, man.
Cut it out.
Let me go sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me think of those memes where it's like, they're supposed to be, I think, photos from like church pamphlets or something where it's like, Jesus is supposed to be guiding these people's hands and one of them is like a surgeon and Jesus is behind him and he's like, stop hitting yourself. And the surgeon's like, damn it, Jesus. Which,
oh, God.
They tickle me.
So members of this group/cult, because we're going to call it what it is. It's a fucking cult. Let's see. They were called Jesus people, or more commonly, Jesus freaks.
That's where
the Jesus freaks.
Yep.
That they called themselves that. That was not a derogatory term. They called themselves Jesus freaks.
Yeah.
They don't mean it the way we mean it now. So,
no.
The sisters grew their hair very, very long, and the brothers would grow their hair long, as well as their beards, and everyone would wear all white Jesus-looking robes. Some of the groups were more extreme, including members of wandering sects. Sects. S-E-C-T. Sects. It's hard to say. That they would cast off all possessions, and they would dumpster dive to survive. So, Dean's mom, Donna, got kind of worried when she had come home one day and found Dean chilling in the kitchen talking theology with two Jesus freaks wearing their long white robes. But Dean was into it, and he would sometimes travel with the brothers to baptisms and, you know, rallies. But he would always come home. The movement started to lose its allure by the late 70s, and then by then Dean had met Tina, so Donna really hadn't thought much about the Jesus freaks in several years, but here they were, so the story at the time didn't really seem that far-fetched to them. Afterward, both Dean and Tina's families tried to report them missing. The Klaus family contacted Daytona Beach police, but given the couple's car had been returned, an officer said the disappearance seemed totally voluntary. Tina's family, the Lynns, turned to the Salvation Army, which in the 70s was tracking missing persons. But nothing came up, so the years went by. Both families reluctantly accepted that Dean, Tina, and baby Holly might be roaming around the country with some band of Jesus freaks.
Oh, no.
They really expected them to turn back up. And Tina's brother Les now sees the return of the car as a trick meant to keep the family from pressing for a formal investigation decades ago.
Yeah.
Now that he knows that the bodies were out there, he's like, oh, I see. Yeah, that was all by design. Oof. So, back to 2020. The families now finally know what happened to Tina and Dean, but what about Holly Marie?
Yeah.
Had she been killed with her parents? Her tiny body might have been taken by predators, or maybe buried elsewhere. Or had she been kidnapped by the Jesus freaks?
Mm.
Dean and Tina Klaus were publicly identified by the Texas Attorney General's Cold Case Unit on January 12, 2021, on the 40th anniversary of the discovery of their remains. Both the families went to Houston to see where the bodies had been found, then decided to have the couple buried together, and the search for Holly Marie began. Allison launched the Hope for Holly DNA project, and information on Holly's case was released to the public, including that her last known whereabouts were Lewisville, Texas. An age progression image was made by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and distributed to the press, and several family members submitted their DNA to multiple genealogy websites, hoping to match with Holly Marie if she's out there.
Yeah.
Several women from across the country wrote to Allison thinking that they could potentially be Holly, so she tested and ruled out several women who had childhood experiences being in nomadic Christian cults, but none of them were a match.
Hmm.
The Texas Cold Case Unit stepped in and offered to help with Holly's case, so with Allison now working more for them, within 6 months there was a break, and it all came down to the spelling of Holly's name.
Oh.
So, as the cold case investigate, when they came in, they started digging deeper. They weren't quite sure what the actual spelling of Holly's name was because the families had spelled it both as H-O-L-L-I-E and H-O-L-L-Y.
Okay.
This seemed an easy fix, so Allison and one of Holly's aunts requested Holly's birth certificate from the Florida Department of Vital Records, but they were denied.
What?
So, Allison turned to one of the detectives with the Lewisville Police Department, which was the agency investigating the missing persons case of Holly. Well, he was also denied. So he went to a senior prosecutor at the Texas Attorney General's Office Cold Case Unit. They were also denied.
What?
So after that, they enlisted the help of judges and attorney general in three states to finally obtain a copy of the birth certificate. And then they saw why they kept being denied.
Oh, no.
It was sealed due to an adoption.
Oh.
It was a closed adoption.
Oh, no.
Right. So Holly had been adopted. So they knew she was out there somewhere. So once they figured that out, things got moving pretty quickly. She was found in Cushing, Oklahoma on June 7th, 2022, which would have been Dean Klaus's 63rd birthday.
Oh, wow.
Right? That's the day they went in physically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Holly Marie, a 42-year-old mother of five, was at work when a detective and an official from the Texas Attorney General's Cold Case and Missing Persons Unit showed up at the restaurant that she worked at, asked to speak with her. They all sat down in a booth, and they told her that they were investigating the 1980s double murder of a young couple near Houston, Dean and Tina Klaus. Holly told them that she had been adopted as an infant and raised by a pastor and his wife. She was very shocked when they told her that they had reason to believe that she was the daughter of the murdered couple, and her birth family had been desperately looking for her. So here's what they learned from her that day. On November 8th, 1980, Philip McGoldrick, the pastor of a Seventh-day Adventist church in Yuma, Arizona, was late for a meeting when he heard a knock on the back door of the church. He looked through a window, saw three women dressed in white robes, members of a religious group that he was very familiar with, known as the Christ family. So he opened the door and said, "Well, can I help you?" And like I said, he's very familiar with them. He's expecting them to ask for money or food. Instead, they offered him a baby girl.
Oh, no, thank you.
Very confused, he said, he asked if they were looking for someone to babysit. Like, why are you handing me this child?
Huh?
Uh-huh. And one of the women said, no, we want to give this baby away. Shocked, McGoldrick talked more with the women, who told him that they weren't able to raise the child because of their nomadic lifestyle, which included the separating of the couples. So men traveled with men, the women traveled with women.
Okay.
And McGoldrick later told the authorities, "They convinced me that they were going to give this baby away to somebody. I was glad they had found a place where it was safe to leave her." Meaning him.
Yeah, fair.
They also said, "We've left babies in laundromats before." So either basically they're saying, take this child now, or we're going to go leave her in a laundromat.
Mm.
Right.
Too much responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Giant surprise. You know how I feel about those.
Yeah, he's a pastor of a church. He's going to take that baby.
Oh, yeah. But just in that brief moment, could you imagine being him
and right?
this very obvious cult members at your doorstep with uh-huh. a baby that are like, "Hey, friend, you want it?"
Right?
Huh?
Right?
Am I? What?
I thought he said, "Do you need a baby?" He said, no, we're giving her to you.
You just imagine, like, the short circuiting that took place in that man's brain.
Right.
Just like, "I'm sorry, am I hallucinating?"
Mm-hmm.
What?
So, anyway, he said, basically he was very glad that they brought her there instead of leaving her in a fucking laundromat, like they said they've done others.
Yeah.
So, then before the women left, one of them, who police believe was in fact Tina Klaus, Holly's mother, handed McGoldrick a birth certificate, as well as a note from Dean Klaus relinquishing his parental rights to Holly Marie. So Pastor McGoldrick and his wife Constance adopted the baby.
Hmm.
Right. Investigators believe that Dean and Tina had joined the Christ family after they moved to Texas and followed them to Arizona, where the group, which was led by a man named Charles McHugh, also known as Jesus Christ Lightning, amen.
Okay.
That's a really long... Jesus Christ Lightning, amen. Can I talk to you for a minute? What does he go by for short? Is it just Jesus? Is it lightning? Is it amen?
I really hope...
Is Lightning Amen hyphenated? Is that a last name?
I don't know.
Right?
I either want it to be all one word, like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Amen. Yes.
But Jesus Christ Lightning, amen. Just one word.
I think so.
I don't know why. I can't explain
Hashtag it. Jesus Christ Lightning, amen.
But I really hope they shortened it to something like Ning.
Jesus Christ Lightning, amen.
Yeah, just...
Because, you know, that's like a swear word to me. I'm going to say that all the time now.
I really
I always say shit, fuck, fire, and hell?
Yeah, yeah. That's also what my brain was thinking.
Jesus Christ, lightning, amen.
Yeah.
That's my new one.
It's a good one.
Y'all are going to hear it a lot now. Anyway, lightning, amen.
You've been warned.
Yes, you've been warned. Jesus Christ, lightning, amen. Yes, I said it again. Had a winter camp near Blythe, California, which was about 40 miles from Yuma. So investigators don't know how long the couple stayed in Arizona or how they ended up back in a Texas bog. But Sergeant Rachel Kading, an investigator with the Texas Attorney General's Cold Case and Missing Persons Unit, it's a really long word, title, said, "The fact that they're together, I think they were leaving. Either they came together as they were traveling with their individual groups, or they came together at some point and left the group and were not traveling with the Christ family at all." So, because remember, the men and women were kept separate.
Mm-hmm.
Kading says investigators are trying to track down anyone who may have had contact with a Christ family follower who went by Rosemary Garcia, who was with Tina on the day she gave up Holly, and is now believed to be deceased. Authorities believe that she was there and that she had orchestrated the whole thing. So Kading, who has interviewed close to 50 former and current members of Christ Family, says there is no evidence that the group was involved in the killing, saying, "I think it's everybody's first thought based on our history with these types of groups that surely they're responsible, but there's just no evidence that they are. I do think, though, if it was somebody associated to Christ Family, it was probably an outlier, a temporary member, somebody who maybe had just started traveling with the group. I do not believe that anybody that we've spoken to hasn't given us everything that they know or remember." Hmm. She also added that Dean and Tina could have very well been hitchhiking and some sicko picked them up. Right? Mm-hmm. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton believes that the case is solvable, saying, "As long as there are people still alive that know, we've got a chance of solving it. There's a decent chance that people connected with them might have important information that would help us get one step closer to solving it. Just like finding baby Holly, it took decades, but eventually we ended up with the right information to get that part figured out." Holly reunited with her birth family and bonded quickly with Dean's mother, Donna, who then passed away in October of 2023. Holly and her bio family have become supporters of Genealogy for Justice, a nonprofit with a goal to solve cold cases through genetic genealogy, as well as the Dean and Tina Lynn Klaus Memorial Fund, with proceeds going towards identifying other John and Jane Does. Holly herself encourages people to get DNA tests and enter into public databases, saying, "Not knowing what happened to your loved one, that's tormenting. We can all be a part of a miracle for a family to know what happened to their lost loved one. And all we got to do is go swab our mouth." So if anyone has any information about Dean and Tina Klaus, you can contact babyhollytips at oag.texas.gov.
Yeah.
And that is the story, solved, unsolved, of the Harris County Does.
Whew.
So they were only in their own apartment for 2 weeks before all contact went.
Yeah.
So, and they were very, like, doting parents.
Yeah.
And so for them to have just given Holly away like that, like, what the fuck happened? Or did Dean not really lose contact with the Jesus freaks, and is that why they moved to Texas?
So many questions.
Mm-hmm. So many questions.
So many.
What are you doing over there?
Well, I was sending him hilarious memes, but also writing things down so I don't forget them. I love that. For
were
later.
You guys even listening to me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
I'm
good.
Very, very capable.
Because I kept seeing you look at each other. What the fuck are they doing?
Yeah. I was trying to make him laugh.
Oh.
He was very good at containing it. But, yeah, I solved
what are
unsolved.
We trying to murder you.
Yeah, we're plotting.
Loves that.
Solved, unsolved. Now I get what
now
you
get what I meant. Yeah. But I don't... I
right?
They just gave her away.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they're probably being honest, and they're like, "No, we can't. We're always on the move."
Yeah.
And toting a baby around is not ideal.
Right?
So here you go.
Bizarre.
But
so.
It's still so just goddamn weird.
Yeah. So how did they... And, like, they either they were going to Texas fully knowing that they were going to be hooking back up with this group, or Dean, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Tina, to anything I found, had no involvement in that at all. I don't know. Or maybe just they ran into a group there and then dipped to Arizona. I don't know.
Then why?
Yeah.
How are they in the bog in Texas?
And like, why?
Especially why, but what?
Yeah. Yeah.
So many questions.
The only thing found at the crime scene was a bloody towel and a pair of shorts. That's the only thing that was recovered.
I don't like, mm-hmm. I don't like that.
Right. And she was strangled and he was beaten to death.
Yeah.
But he was bound and gagged. So were they hitchhiking home and some serial killer got a hold of him?
Maybe.
Or what the fuckity fuck? Or were they trying to leave the group? But it's like she, the Officer Kading said, she was just like, no.
Yeah.
That's well, not really how they roll.
Yeah, because like, why? Why go so, if somebody wants to leave, like, why?
Now, leaving a cult can be, you know, not great.
Yeah, but I feel but like that one.
This kind, yeah, this isn't the kind of cult that does that.
Yeah, that's where I was trying to get to.
They might shun ya or yeah. You know, whatever, but like.
I don't feel like murder would be.
Yeah.
Not this cult.
Yeah, so they know who they are. They don't know how they got there, but baby Holly was found.
At least there's that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, so my sources are peoplemagazine.com, Christine Pelisek, two separate articles, yeah. Many a wiki, khou.com, Xavier Walton and Jamie E. Galvin, Houston Chronicle, St. John Barnett Smith, NBCNews.com, David K. Lee, TexasObserver.com, Lisa Olson, TheDNAGeek.com, and UnitedSearchCorps.motherfucking.com.
Okay.
Yes. So it's a good one, huh?
It is a good, that was very a good one. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, what is crappening here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And bananas.
Knowing, you know, Lucille too, and how exciting it is when you finally found,
yeah,
you've gone down that family tree rabbit hole. You've found the right branch. You've connected these two people's DNA. I found the sister. Where's the baby? And you're just like, fucking what?
Hang on. Rewind that.
Right.
What did you say?
Yeah. Yeah, that had to have been a kick in the gut.
Yeah. Because how, she was, what, a year?
A year. Yeah, just a year. She's a little thing.
Just imagine, what the fuck you mean, baby?
Right?
What?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, we've solved a portion, apparently. Apparently, this is just two pieces of a puzzle, and there is way, way more.
Yeah, we don't even know where the box is.
Yeah, so there you go. There you go. What you got?
Well, I have indeed a story.
Good.
A tale, which to tell you. I first heard about it from our dear friend, Larissa.
Ooh, and a tale figured, from the bards.
From the bards. And figured it would be, it's an interesting and spooky little guy, uh-huh, that y'all would enjoy. So today, I'll be telling y'all about Zeladroff and the Pink Hill Legend.
Wow.
Ooh.
Never heard of anything like this.
I feel like a lot of people outside of the area where it occurred don't know it.
Fair enough.
Yes. So, picture it.
I will.
The quaint town of Pitcher, New York.
Ah.
Which, as of 2010, was home to only 803 people.
Wow.
Yeah. It was also named after New York's 8th governor, Nathaniel Pitcher.
All right.
There's not too much information about the little town, which, surprise, surprise, is going to extend to the rest of the story. Especially since it happened over 150 years ago.
Surprise, surprise.
Thank you, because I was going to, and
surprise,
I didn't.
Surprise, surprise. Clock app.
Yep, every time I hear the word now, that just immediately is what I think of. That's also
taste
why.
Taste the biscuit.
Taste the biscuit.
Like what is one. Happening?
Just.
I like that one, too.
Earworms from.
Yeah. TikTok.
The TikTok.
Clock app.
So, as the story goes, sometime around 1870, okay, Farmer Ezra Droff took a wife. Her name, Zella. She was a beautiful young woman, said to be between 18 and 21 years old at the time of her marriage to the much older, quote-unquote, middle-aged, mm-hmm, Ezra. According to a 2011 Evening Sun article, Ezra was, quote, a hard worker, a good provider, and a deacon of the church. Slow to anger, his wrath was deep when aroused.
Ooh, that's, okay.
Speaking of sexually confusing.
I was like,
That feels doesn't sound a little weird.
Too terrible.
He and Zella lived in a farmhouse at the top of a hill, which was fairly isolated Jealous. From the rest of the village and its inhabitants, and I want to go to there.
Jealous.
More and more every day.
Jealous.
Zella was a typical young woman of her time, with the Evening Sun describing her as, quote, young and loved sharing the innocent picnics, dances, and socials of other young people.
Hmm.
So, you know, it was like, girls being girls in the 1870s.
Yeah.
Picnics.
Picnics.
Hoops. And sticks.
Sure.
Down dirt roads.
Yeah.
Sticks and or hoops.
Yeah.
Either way.
Party.
Don't threaten Zella Droff with a good time.
Mm-mm.
With a stick and a hoop.
Mm-mm.
She'll be all about it.
Lunchbox social.
Hell yeah. Unfortunately for her, her husband seemed like the prototype for John Lithgow's Reverend Shaw Moore from Footloose. In that he truly hated the idea of his young wife having any kind of age-appropriate fun.
Then don't at get all. One of those.
Right?
But that's...
Again.
That's how it was.
The 1870s.
He probably needed some youngins.
Yeah.
Gross.
Wanting to be a good wife, Zella tried to compromise with Ezra and tried to invite some of the younger folks over to the farmhouse after their working days were over. But Ezra apparently just straight up hated fun and strictly forbade his young bride from socializing of any kind.
Wow.
I mean, you'd think as a church deacon he'd be more likely to approve of an in-home group Bible study or something,
right?
But, like, if she were under his watchful eye, you'd think that he'd be like, yeah, okay, they can come over and you guys can eat some sandwiches and read the Bible. Sure. Right. But apparently not.
He's a fun sucker.
Truly.
Ezra's no fun.
Ezra is no fun.
Fun sucker.
Probably a year or so into their marriage, Zella decided she was going to go out and let her hair down. I mean,
yeah.
Figuratively, probably, because 1870s.
Potentially, literally.
Potentially, literally. But she was still a lady, after all. Due to her stick-in-the-mud of a husband's aversion to a good time, Zella would wait until he'd fallen asleep, put on a pretty dress, sneak out of the house, and walk into Pitcher to attend dances and other social events by her damn self.
Yeah, she did.
She sure
I would,
did.
Too.
Unfortunately, the days of carefree fun weren't meant to last.
Damn it.
I'm not quite sure how long Zella was able to get away with her verboten shenanigans.
Not verboten.
Verboten.
Oh, man.
But I can tell you that it wasn't long enough. One evening, Ezra woke up to find himself alone in bed with Zella nowhere to be found. Being the kind of man he was, Ezra was furious.
Yeah.
To learn that his wife had gone against his very rigid and ridiculous wishes.
Yeah, I bet he was not stoked.
No. So like any sane and rational person would do, he took a seat by the front door and waited for her to return.
Oh, yeah, I've had that happen.
And eventually,
and I've done it.
she did. As soon as she walked in, Ezra attacked her with the butcher knife he'd been holding the whole time that he'd been waiting for her to return.
Too far, bro. Too far.
Too fucking far.
Too far.
According to reports, quote, he murdered her where she stood, spraying blood over the furniture, walls, floor, and ceiling, supposedly still visible long afterwards.
Wow, we went from
zero
fun sucker to Dahmer, like, bro.
Yeah, it's not good.
I mean, okay, by those standards, just beat your wife, bro, like... But no,
episode title, Beat Your Wife, Bro.
No, but I'm saying, you know what I'm saying?
It's like 1870. Even for the 1870s, too far.
Box her ears. Do whatever it is you fucking do. You're an abusive fun sucker, but you go from just fun sucking to cleaving?
Yeah.
That's a huge jump, my guy.
Please call this episode Beat Your Wife.
Absolutely not.
There's a huge jump, Mike. But right? Shouldn't there have been like a horrible,
right,
abusive ass kicking in between that?
You
fun sucking, escalating
there
to...
Was...
Oh, yeah. No, there was no middle ground.
No.
No. He went from dick to murderer pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not.
Wow.
This, not at all good.
This is beyond Footloose.
Yes. Sweet Zella was buried in a small hilltop cemetery not far from the farmhouse where she was murdered.
Jesus.
The house and all of its belongings were abandoned not long after Zella was killed, and no one knows what became of the murderous Ezra Droff.
Hmm.
But of course, the story doesn't end there.
Good.
Years after the murder, a Notions drummer, a.k.a. a, quote, traveling salesman specializing in small items difficult to get in the days before department stores.
Thank you, because I had no idea what a Notions drummer was.
I didn't either until...
I know what a snake oil salesman is.
Yeah, this guy, Notions drummer.
I know
drummer.
What a tinker is, love traveling it. Tinker.
So he came to town and checked himself into the Pitcher Hotel.
Oh, okay.
He hired a rig, which I'm assuming is the late 1800s, early 1900s equivalent of renting a car.
Yeah.
And took himself for a nice scenic drive through the hills. After the sun had set for the day, the man encountered a beautiful young woman in a pretty dress walking along the dark road.
Ruh-roh.
Being the gentleman that he was, he stopped and offered her a ride. And as it turned out, she was going to the Pitcher Hotel for a dance. Once they'd arrived, she asked him to stay and dance with her, which he was more than happy to oblige.
Yeah.
They laughed, they danced the night away, enjoyed the music, and at one point he gifted her a tortoiseshell comb from his sample bag, which she joyfully accepted and put in her hair.
Uh-huh.
Soon after, she started getting tired and wanted to go home. The man offered to drive her all the way back, but she had him drop her off where he'd initially picked her up, telling him that she'd walk the rest of the way as it wasn't far.
Okay.
She left. He yearned.
Oh.
Because the next day...
Yearning.
Our unnamed traveling salesman went about business as usual. However, when he was done, he decided to rehire the same rig from the day before and do a little more exploring in the hopes of running into the lovely lady from the night before.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the spot where he'd dropped her off, but the only things nearby were an old run-down farmhouse, an abandoned barn, and an old cemetery that was almost completely grown over in an attempt by nature to reclaim the land.
Oh, boy.
Feeling a little confused, the man returned to town and went back to the Pitcher Hotel, where he asked the man behind the desk if he might know where to find the young woman he'd spent the previous night with. Dancing. Nothing more. Just yes. Spent the previous night dancing.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Just of kicking course. Up their heels.
Yep. I was just checking with the desk clerk, like, hey, do you know where to find this young woman? And he did. But it wasn't an answer that the salesman had been prepared for.
Dun, dun, dun.
According to the clerk, quote, you've danced with a ghost. It happens every so often.
Oh, boy.
Astonished by the man's claim, the salesman reportedly responded with, a ghost? But she was so real! The clerk then told him the sad story of Zella Droff and claimed that on some nights you could still find her walking down the road near her house, heading towards town for another dance. She never spent too long in the dance hall, instead leaving fairly early into the evening, where she would promptly disappear on the road at the bottom of the hill in front of the house she'd been murdered in. Thinking the clerk was pulling his leg, that evening the salesman drove back up the hill and entered the old graveyard, where he did indeed find the grave of Mrs. Zella Droff.
Mm.
And sitting on top of the headstone, the tortoiseshell comb he'd given her the night before.
Ooh, spoopy.
In 2018, the William G. Pomeroy Foundation erected a historical marker at the site of the long-demolished Pitcher Hotel, which mm-hmm. reads, Pink Hill legend, Zella Droff was murdered in 1870s by husband for attending dances here at former Pitcher Hotel. Her ghost returns to travelers on Pink Hill Road. And as the legend goes, on certain nights, you can still see her on the hill, ready to dance the night away.
Ah.
And that is the sad story of Zella Droff and the Pink Hill legend.
Ooh.
Right?
That's a good one.
Oh, just a little hitchhiking, dancing ghost.
Ezra sucks, bro. Ezra you went too suck. Hard there.
Too fucking far.
Too hard, bro.
Give her some extra chores.
Wind down.
Jesus Christ.
Spank her ass.
Man.
I love that we are just rolling through different violent misogynistic things.
Mine was chores.
Right? I mean, and clearly he, you Fair. Know, it's 1870. It's... But I'm just saying, like,
yeah, like
it, there's all this the misogyny he could have gone through before cleaving.
Escalated real quick.
And mind you, I don't disagree. Too fast. I'm not disagreeing. It's just really funny right? that we are...
that I said beat your wife, bro? Like, I mean... but I'm just saying, in terms of the times, like, there's a lot of other things that he could have done.
Yeah, like you,
that would have been socially acceptable in the day.
Yeah, because you would have thought that that's what would have happened, but nope.
Right?
Ezra was like, "I don't have time.
Take a switch to her ass
for
dude.
That.
Do something else.
I am sick of her, and I'm just gonna straight up murder her as soon as she walks in the door. I need to know
right?
what happened to him.
Right?
Hopefully, it was something awful."
She has more fun than me. Wee.
Yeah, just...
Fun sucker. Fun sucker Ezra. Fuck that guy.
Shut up, dude. Sources.
Jesus Christ, lightning, amen.
HMDB.org, Evesun.com, David Graham, Wikipedia, 961theeagle.com, Dave Wheels Wheeler.
Wow.
I was really excited for that
wow.
one.
Wow.
I mean, it's a radio station, so.
Mm. Oh, no, I got it.
Of course. He's got to have a real cool name.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
Dr. And then
John Fever.
WGPFoundation.org.
Nice. Yeah. That was a good one.
Thank you.
Short and sweet. Love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It's like, you know.
Loves it.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Here's something for you. A little
into it.
A little East Coast lore.
Into some lore.
Right?
Jesus right. Christ, lightning, amen.
Jesus Christ, lightning, amen.
Amen.
You're going to wear that fucker out.
Well, you know, I wear a lot of things out.
Say that very proudly.
Take it how you will. You know. Anyway. Well, shit.
I will. Huh? Sexually.
Sexually. It's of sexual nature. Anyway, well, fuck, we done it, y'all.
We did done do it.
Y'all know the drill. Rate, review, subscribe. Share. If you'd like some exclusive motherfucking content, go become a patron on our Love Patreon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, till next time, y'all.
Hexes and hoes, y'all.
Bye. Hats off to the Fuck You Club. Fuck you, Ezra.
Yeah.
Ezra sucks.
Fuck you for not beating your wife.
Right? There's so many, like, 1870 things you could have done. Taking
Can
a
we
switch
call the
to
episode,
her ass.
Fuck you for not beating your wife.
Boxing her ears.
Absolutely not.
You know? There's so many other things. Send her to bed without supper. Like, fuck, dude. She's There's just, so many other fucking things he could have done.
What about starve your wife?
Nope.
Send him to bed without supper. I don't know. Chain her to the bed. I don't know. Do something else.
Chain her to the bed.
Oh, my God.
That's the one.
Do something else.
That made me panic.
Twist her nips.
I'm going to punch you right in the dick.